Hello and welcome to Bite Size Payments. Today we're going to discuss the UK's NPA, New Payment Architecture, and I'm super happy to be joined by Kate Fitzgerald from the PSR. Kate, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Really super happy to be here as well.
Fantastic. Kate, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I currently head up the policy team at the PSR. I've been at the PSR and in regulation for around 3 years now. Prior to that, I did grow up in banking and payments myself. So I have a background in merging payment systems and divesting payments. So big, crunchy payments IT projects is how I came to know and love payments. But as a regulator in the PSR, I have a fantastic portfolio of policy change, which is quite wide ranging. Anything from protection app scams. We're looking hard at the card fees and doing a market review on that market, and we are also working hard on competition, so looking at account to account and open banking. But I think today we're going to be talking about another of my favorite projects, which is the NPA.
Great. I mean, you know, I should say that I was lucky enough to be on the advisory board for 6 years, which I've now left. And of course, I worked on the PSF. So, you know, I have some context to the history, and that's kind of where I want to start, really, is some of the history. You know, before we dive directly into the NPA, we think we do need to go back. And you know, the UK really was the first to implement immediate payments, or faster payments, as we call them here in I think it was 2008, if I remember rightly. Otto actually corrected me last time we chatted. But effectively, that model has gone round, you know, nearly, I think it's 70, 75 nations around the world, which is pretty much the same model that was actually created in, you know, 2008. And that covers somewhere in the region of 70% of the world's population, which is quite amazing to think, you know, faster payments has grown that quickly. But we also, you know, did that really to try and speed up, lest we forget, the, I think it was 10 days to actually clear at the time, which I know people joked was about the speed that it took a fast horse to get from the north of England in the olden days to London to be able to deliver checks. But nevertheless, it is growing massively. I think it's like 39% of all the UK traffic now. It's a huge number. But in 2016, the PSF came along and it established its report, a payment strategy for the 21st century, putting the needs of our users first. And it was really aimed at trying to address what the challenges were in the UK. And to the best of my knowledge, Kate, it was the first time that that type of study's ever been done from the ground up, trying to look at the detriments, as they were called, of society and what we should do about them. I think that was the first time that's ever been done.
Yeah, so the payment strategy forum was unique because it was actually driven, it was directed by the PSR, the regulator, but it was driven by industry and it was a very collaborative effort. And the findings were quite wide ranging. They actually built on the market review, which the PSR had done. So there was prior to that, there was a market review into the ownership and competitiveness of infrastructure provision. And that did recommend a competitive procurement exercise for the provision of infrastructure, which of course is what the NPA is designed to be. But what the PSF did really is build a vision around that of what we wanted that infrastructure in the UK to be and what it could be. So yeah, it was pretty exciting. It was also quite significant because actually the recommendations from the PSF were to consolidate three existing and very large and quite complex payment systems, so BACS, checks and faster payments at the time. And so that's how we came to in July 2017, the PSR issued what we call technically specific directions, and we directed that there should be a competitive procurement of central infrastructure for BACS and faster payments, and for that the new infrastructure should support the new ISO 20022 message. So yeah, there is a fair bit of history, but it was a great start in designing what was needed for the UK.
I think that's right. I mean, I was genuinely shocked at some of the findings that came out, because, you know, you work in the industry, you see pretty much a linear change. And some of the opportunities and some of the thoughts that came around from industry and from some of the other stakeholders were actually shocking to me and very insightful. And I've kept a lot of them in the back of my mind. But nevertheless, it's, as you say, it's really brought us to where we are. Now, I have to say, it's taken a fair bit of time. It's taken, you know, I know it's a bit of a sore subject, but it's like 7-8 years onwards. How come it's taken so long really to get here? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It has taken a long time. And I think at the time, perhaps we all underestimated the significance of the task that PayUK had to do. So PayUK was the body that was created to manage all of the legacy schemes, and just creating that organization, building it up from scratch, crunching together all of those capabilities, as well as starting a really significant infrastructure refresh program, just in the early days did take a lot longer than we thought it was going to. I mean, what we see, I mean, obviously we're not running the program, it's very much a PayUK program, but we keep very mm-hmm. close to it. And what we see now is, you know, much more traction, better focus on delivery, really good progress through the competitive procurement. And that, you know, I've already said, was one of our really key things. So we wanted to make sure that there's good competition in infrastructure provision. So already that competition progressing is we see as incredibly, incredibly helpful.
And I think that's fair. I mean, once, you know, at the time, I can remember when we actually published the report and, you know, being in those sessions and talking about it, everyone was very excited, you know. But the truth of the matter is, it is actually a very profound set of changes for the country. And, you know, least we forget, we did have Brexit in, you know, the middle of this, and we had quite a few other fundamental changes.
A pandemic as well, haven't we?
Exactly. So, you know, while we should reflect that it has taken some time, I think we should also reflect on it is a very profound change, and we have had big things that we couldn't have foreseen in the middle of it. But I personally think it's very profound. Perhaps you could outline some of the key, you know, tenets of what NPA will actually deliver and how people will see it, because not all people will see it, but, you know, the industry will see it.
Yeah, that's right. And obviously a big win will be if very few people see it implemented and that it goes in quietly and smoothly, as with all payment implementations. The less the consumers see, the better. But so originally, if we just sort of go back to where the PSF wanted the NPA to take us. So very much a much more thin infrastructure with layers, and that sort of design to have a really thin core, which does just the absolute minimum mechanics of a payment, so that all of the other layers you're able to create innovation competition without going in and changing the whole core of the infrastructure every single time. You know, that was a real bedrock of the vision. The PSF also talked about single set of standards and rules with very strong central governance, and that's where PayUK, you know, really needs to drive that rule book and that set of standards for us. ISO 20022, now there are other projects which are overtaking the MPA on ISO 20022, but it still remains absolutely relevant as that common international messaging standard, which should give us much better access, innovation and interoperability, which is something I know the PSF, you know, really set out well in their vision. It goes without saying that security and resilience is absolutely at the heart of the vision. And one additional thing that I will say, actually, that was probably very, very loosely mentioned in the original PSF, but has really grown in importance in the intervening 8 years, is just the focus that the MPA needs to have for us on competition. So what we've seen in the payments market in the last 8 years is really this quite significant decline in the use of cash and a growth in digital payments. But actually what we're seeing is really big growth in card payments in the UK. And we do think that has, well, it definitely has become more marked over the last 8 years. And we do think that means that the MPA has a real role to play in creating competition, you know, with the card schemes and in the market to really facilitate more use cases than faster payments and BACs used to.
I think that's the fascinating thing, isn't it? You come so far and then you can see the next hilltop, you can see the next series of opportunities. And really, there are three different products that it's going to deliver, if products is the right word. I think we're still calling them products, aren't we? And there, you know, there is exactly faster payments, Mark 3 or 4, whatever it is now, but it's a revamp. Then there's a batch version, a multi-file packed version that we can send at within the day rather than immediate. And there's this immediate payment, if I can use that analogy. So I think that, you know, that's pretty profound, because as you say, that really starts to bring together all of the transaction types across the UK portfolio. And I think that is a profound change to have in one place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we PayUK have been encouraged broadly to, over the last few years anyway, to make sure that they can deliver the core in a simpler way as possible. But you're absolutely right. What we see, you know, potentially happening in this future is, you know, further use cases, further, you know, things like perhaps BACs direct debit becoming a different thing, but using some of the products on the future MPA and perhaps even BACs credit. Now, we are a little way away from that. But the one thing that which is a very live debate is another one of those products which you've just mentioned, Paul, which is this instant payment. Now, what PayUK are thinking about there is how do they cater to this market of retail payments? Because what the SIP, the good old single immediate payment does on Faster Today really well is deliver a fast payment, gives you value, you know, within a very, very short time. But what it doesn't do is actually give you a binary response. So it doesn't, it's not always a yes, no. It is, there are qualified accepts in there. And that doesn't work if you're a merchant handing over goods. And so, you know, the industry has to think quite hard about how we're going to, you know, be able to have a payment product that does work for merchants on this rail. And so the instant payment could well be the answer to that. And now it might not. And we at the PSR are, you know, sort of, as long as the industry finds a way to answer to it, you know, we're going to be supportive. But we do need to find a way to answer to that problem.
I think that's right. I think, you know, it's long been talked about, you know, why would I take this outside of eMedia Payments, which it looks like the right platform to deliver for merchants. But as you say, it is binary. If you're in a store, you don't want to wait 25 seconds and maybe it's a yes, maybe hopefully it's a yes and maybe it's a no. But I think it does put into sharp focus, as you were saying a little bit earlier, looking at the cards business as a whole and whether there should be more competition. I think that, you know, the instant, as I call it, starts to play in that world. And I think that would be a good thing for the UK to try and take that on. But as you say, we shall see. But I do think it's a rife marketplace to be looking at.
Yeah, and Paul, we published as a part of our JROC work on open banking, we've recently set out a roadmap which actually starts to use open banking payments, which, as you know, today go through faster payments, but in the future will go through the MPA. So we've set out and published a roadmap where actually we want to start looking very closely at use cases for what we would sort of loosely term as VRP light next year. But by 2025, we have said, actually, we want there to be all of the things in place which would enable a genuine competitor to retail payments. Now, that isn't just about technology, actually. Mm. When we talk about the MPA, we talk a lot about the technical architecture, but it's as much about the rules that wrap around that technology, because what we really need is the right rules which protect customers, and we also need a viable economic model which is going to drive the right incentives for users to want to use it. Because today, for a merchant, you know, it's pretty easy to accept card payments. So thinking hard about how we create competition and how we use the rules, the rule book, as well as the technology to help us.
I think that's absolutely right. I completely agree. I think there is a huge opportunity there. But as you say, it's not quite as simple as just making immediate payments available. There are other things that need to get done. But you've talked a little bit about timings. Could you just give us the highlights of when you see the next wave of change actually being implemented?
So much change at the moment, Paul. So, you know, we're really conscious that everyone in the payments industry is working, you know, super, super hard at the moment. And so for us, all of these things are linked. I've just talked about the rule book, and we will see a set of a wave of change in the faster rule book by the protections we're putting in through the app scams work, and that is going to, you know, we're very soon in the next probably in the next 6 weeks going to be setting out our policy on that so that banks can start to prepare for the changes in the rule book, which will take place in 2024. Then we've got the JROC roadmap, which will also look hard at the open banking payments, and we'll start to see changes driven out of that. The MPA, now our direction is in place for the MPA to be payments to be migrated to the MPA by the middle of 2026. So, you know, that is the mandated date at the moment, and PayUK are working hard to get through the competitive procurement to get that system designed, built and tested. So I think it's fair to say that really for the next, you know, 4 years, we're going to see constant waves of change in this in the UK payments industry.
I think that's, I mean, you know, it's a very exciting time to be in payments. And there's a lot of things going on, as you say. But I don't know, to me, it feels like if we were to roll forward 5, 6, 7, 8 years and we were to look back on this, it feels to me as if we'd look back and say, that was our digital change moment. This is, you know, we've come from, you know, what, backs in 1968, checks in 1659. It's one of my favorite stats.
Is that right? 1659?
Yeah, 1659 in a London tavern, if I remember rightly. But, you know, we look back on these things and you think, well, all the things we've put in place to date have been mostly analog, if an analog in process. And now what, you know, you've been driving for change and what Pay.UK will deliver will start to look much, much like the digital revolution that I think we're all seeking. Is that fair?
Yeah, the way I see it, Paul, I think that what we've had historically is payment systems that can do one thing. You know, you remember the big machines we used to process paper checks through, and you know, and we have the link system which can cope with ATMs, and we've had BACS, and we all know and love BACS. But really, BACS does, well, it does two things, doesn't it? Just direct debits and credits. But I think what we're seeing with the MPA is us really capitalising in the UK on a payment system that can do multiple things. And that drives efficiency and synergy and yeah, helps us towards that digital revolution. And I think it also, you know, really helps to drive competition as well. I'm very optimistic that what we're seeing is a new infrastructure that's going to bring quite significant change in competition, which will benefit consumers.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, isn't it? Do you know what my first role in payments was? To take an 8-inch diskette. Some people won't even understand what that is, but I took an 8-inch diskette. I physically drove it round to BACS and actually presented it to them. Unfortunately, I had to do it 5 times because I kept on doing it wrong. But nevertheless, that was my first role in the payment industry. But, you know, I think this is about looking after the citizens and doing the right thing for our stakeholders. But Kate, have you got any final thoughts before we call this a wrap?
I think the final thing I would say is, you know, I'm really excited to get the MPA over the line. But I would really encourage us all to think hard, not only about the excitement of the shiny new technology, but also the rule book. And if I have one learning from the way that we implemented faster payments in 2008, is that the growth of app scams tells me we didn't get protection right. So looking at the rule book that wraps around the MPA that helps to protect consumers, but also drives pricing and incentives. I think that I'm as excited about that as I am about the shiny new technology.
Well, Kate, you know, I think this has been a fantastic journey, and I'm super excited by, I think, where we're going, and I think the MPA will deliver. And I think that, in my view, when we look back on this, we'll go, yeah, that was a massive project, well delivered, that changes the UK payments infrastructure for the good and for the good of society. So more power to your elbow and more power to Pay.UK's elbow. So, and talking of elbows, the best of luck with your elbow yourself. I hope you mean well. But genuinely, thank you so very much for your thoughts and insight today.
Thanks, Kate. Great to talk to you. Thank you, Paul.